blood flow to an extremity during exercise. Blood flow restricted rehabilitation allows significant strength gains with minimal stress to the involved joint. This is ideal for anyone that is unable to tolerate high intensity workouts, including pre and post surgery. PT Associates of Emporia at 12th and Industrial, 620-208-7878.
All the latest sports news and views, actions and reactions, your questions and comments. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local.
And good Saturday morning. Welcome to Sports Talk. We're driven by LongmineAuto.com. Greg Ray along with Dylan Sherwood on this Saturday morning. And we're joined by several special guests this morning in studio, joined by Avery and Olivia Eckert and their dad, Rick Eckert, who just wrapped up a couple weeks ago an outstanding senior golf season, and we'll talk to them here in just a little bit. But yesterday, a very busy day sports-wise, a successful one for Emporia State. The Emporia State soccer team, a 5-1 winner over Fort Hays State, they advance on to the regional semifinals where they will play Central Missouri tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Central Missouri advancing with a 5-0 win over Southwestern Oklahoma State, so they'll be playing for a third time. And series knotted up, a win apiece. Emporia State won the regular season match, and Central Missouri won the MIAA championship match a week ago. So those two will meet up tomorrow in Warrensburg, Missouri. And the Emporia State basketball teams got their seasons underway with victories. The women defeating Harding 58-57. And the Emporia State men opening up with a 67-57 win over Arkansas Tech. Both teams will be back in action today. The women play Henderson State. That's an 11 o'clock tip-off. We'll have the game for you here on KVOE. And the Emporia State men tonight take on Southwestern Oklahoma State. That game tips off at 7:30, and we'll broadcast that game on Mix 104.9. There was also high school football action last night, the quarterfinal round of the playoffs. Unfortunately for several of our area teams, their seasons came to an end. Opie loses a heartbreaker to Centralia, 8-7 the final score. Opie scored first. They kicked their extra point. Centralia would score their touchdown in the third quarter. They went for two and converted, and they win the game by one. Opie finishes their season with an 8-2 record, and for the first time in three seasons, their season comes to an end before they get to the Division I state championship game. But congratulations to an outstanding season to the Opie Eagles. And Chase County lost a heartbreaker themselves as Little River outscored the Chase County Bulldogs 48-40. And Chase County finishes their season with a record of 9-2, an outstanding year for them. I know it ended sooner than what they were hoping for. Little River gets to play Burlingame next in the semifinals. Burlingame advancing with a 39-16 victory over Linden. It's Linden, their first year in eight-man football, had a great run. That game next Friday between Burlingame and Little River will be played in Burlingame. So Little River gets to travel again, a little further east this time. And also last night, Lebo losing to Canton Galva, 52-6. Congratulations to the Lebo Wolves on an outstanding season, making it to the quarterfinal round of eight-man Division II playoffs. And congratulations to the Waverly Bulldogs as they advance to the six-man semifinals. They defeated Tescott 46-12. And they're saying, thank goodness we get to play at home next Friday because they take on Cunningham. As Cunningham is the one who gets to travel all the way to Waverly next Friday. So Waverly will have played all their postseason games at home, thanks to the East-West formula. So congratulations to Waverly, and hopefully they'll get to play in the very first official six-man state championship game in 2 weeks. In fact, 2 weeks from today, Thanksgiving, the Saturday after Thanksgiving. So good luck to Waverly next Friday night. So a lot going on. Also, K-State men's basketball team, a winner last night as they defeated Cal. Big day today for college football. Emporia State at home against Northwest Missouri State. That's a 1 o'clock kick. Both teams 8-2. Both teams still have an outside shot of making it to the playoffs. A win today would go a long way in maybe helping the winner of that game make it to the playoffs. And KU and K-State also in action today, both on the road. KU is at Texas Tech. That game kicks off at 6. You can hear the game here on KVOE. And K-State will be at Baylor. That game also kicks off at 6 o'clock. That game will be broadcast on Country 101.7 FM. So there's a synopsis of what happens and what's going to be happening on our airwaves. And with that, we'll bring in our special guest this morning, Olivia and Avery Eckert, as they help lead the Emporia High girls to a Centennial League championship and a second-place finish at state. Congratulations. Go ahead and pull those microphones up a little closer so everybody can hear you talk. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, looking at this season, was it everything you expected it would be?
Looking back, yes. I was really happy with the amount of progress we made from the beginning to the end and just the overall team dynamic. It was all six of us together, and it was a lot of fun.
I won't lie. I was definitely not expecting to get second place at state. Our goal going in was to make the cut, and then we just went out and we played the second day, and we just played well.
You know, we mentioned both of you a lot this year because you were the top two golfers for Emporia High all season long, and it was kind of expected because of the careers that you've had. But how important was it to have the other girls step up, like your sister, Elise, and then some of the other golfers to step up and play the way they did this year?
That was really important because we've been working hard, and I know all the others have been working really hard too. And I know Elise wanted to play well, Ella had been playing really well, and then just to see them play well when it really mattered, like at state and regionals and league, it was just awesome to see.
Well, league champion, two-time league champion, Centennial League Golfer of the Year, just talk about your season a little bit.
Well, going right the week before league, I got COVID. And I was really nervous going into league because I had practiced 2 days before the tournament. So I was not expecting to win. I was just expecting to go out and play and just see where it took me. And I was really happy.
You might want to move your microphone just a little bit closer. Okay. We're talking to Avery Eckert, by the way, for those who may not be aware. We're talking with Avery Eckert, who was a Centennial League champion. And you just mentioned you only practice. Did it come to mind? Who needs to practice? or with Dad being the golf coach, did that question ever come out of the mouth?
No, I always want to go out, and I always want to practice. And those few days before Centennial League, I was pretty stressed because I hadn't physically been able to go out and play. And then when I was on the range, when I was putting, I was just like, just concentrate. You don't have to, like, you don't have to do really well. You just have to go out and you have to play, and that's what I did.
What about your postseason run, Olivia? How'd you feel about the way you were playing down the stretch?
Down the stretch, sorry, I think I was playing pretty well. I was able to hit more of my drivers, my long irons, better, and putting also went better than the regular season, so just small things that added up to help lower my score.
Well, Coach Eckert, you had a chance to coach these young ladies throughout their career at Emporia High and even during the summer since Dad has been around there. But just from a coach's standpoint, how much of a joy was it to coach these young ladies and to see not only them but the rest of their teammates develop like they did this year?
It was a lot of fun. I mean, it's one of those things where you see groups of kids that come through, whether it's boys or girls, that you know are going to have the chance to be better. And as the girls started to finally get into the game, they started to understand it a little better, and they started to know that it takes a lot of practice to become better. They really did step it up. And, I mean, the nice thing is between what they have been able to do, both Avery and Olivia, throwing Elise into the mix, and Ella had a really super year for us this year. I mean, that's the difference maker. You have to have four scores, and typically that's what we've missed, is we've had maybe two, sometimes get a third, but this year we had four people that could score for us.
And by the way, for those who haven't heard yet, Coach Eckert was the Centennial League Golf Coach of the Year, and he shared a secret with us. There might be more honors coming for him, so we'll wait for the official announcements to be released. But congratulations to you, and really, as most coaches will tell me, it's because of the players, it's because of the girls that you earned these honors.
Yeah, it is, because, I mean, I hate to say this, but, you know, there have been years where I think I've gotten more out of other teams just because of the fact that, you know, they weren't as developed, they weren't as progressed in their games. But, you know, this year, yeah, I mean, I had a fantastic group of girls to work with. They came out every day. They did what they needed to. I never had to push them. And it's fun when you get into that situation. It's obviously, you know, nice to be honored. But, yeah, this was a great group of kids. And, you know, sometimes you struggle a little bit with other groups. Other times you have groups that aren't good and you really dig something out of them. These guys have worked so hard for so long that it was really easy to pull that next level out of them.
And I guess when I was following you guys all year long, and of course the regional tournament, you guys are hosting it, and it's a loaded regional. Cape and Mount Carmel is in there as well. And you guys were the regional runner-up, and it was like by eight, like under 20 strokes. But getting to play against that tough competition and knowing that they weren't running away with it, how did you guys just want to test yourself, especially when you get second at regionals and know that you can compete against these tough teams at state?
Yeah, we were looking forward to that because the way that we played at regionals set us up, as Avery had said, our goal was just to make the cut at state. And then if we made the cut, we were going to turn it loose and just see what happened the next day. And just the way that things panned out with the level of play, the consistency that we had all year this year, and then the fact that we were finally stepping up when it really mattered, you know, that second day, I was like, you know, we kind of got a chance. So, you know, it's fun when you get to that point. It's a lot of work and it's a lot of nervousness, but it's a lot of fun once you finally get there and you got a chance.
You broke a school record in that first meet of the year. It was, you know, at home as well, and ended up getting broken again. But what does it mean that this group accomplished a lot of history this year?
The biggest thing is it demonstrates how hard they have worked, because those scores don't just appear. You have to go out. You have to do it. There are other teams this year that, you know, they had some good players. They didn't put the pieces together. And that's what was great about this team is, again, we always had four scores that were solid. And that's what it takes to succeed in high school golf. You know, a lot of times you can survive if you have one superstar that can just blow things out of the water. But the bottom line is, if you don't have those other three positions, you're going to struggle. And this year, we had all those pieces put together.
And, you know, Dylan mentioned finishing second at regionals to Cape and Mount Carmel. We'll start with you, Olivia. Did that give you and the team a little bit of confidence going into state?
I think it did. We weren't too far behind Cape, so knowing that it was not a large amount of distance, we had the ability to go out there and shoot and compete, and I'm really happy with how it turned out at state.
What about you, Avery? Did you kind of feel like, hey, we just finished second to Cape and Mount Carmel at regionals, that we should have a chance at this?
Yeah, I wasn't going out expecting to beat them at state, but I think how we finished at regionals, all of us played well, and it really showed that we can play well, we can compete, and that was a lot of motivation going into the state tournament.
And then at state, after the first round, you make the cut, and you're probably feeling like, okay, we did what we wanted to do, we made the cut. Was it like Coach said, you guys said, well, let's just go out and see what happens on day two?
Yeah, like, I thought I played well the first day, and in my head I was like, well, you've played good one day. There's no way you can't do it again. So I was just – the whole tournament, I was relaxed. I was focusing on what I needed to do, but I was also having fun. That was the most important part. I don't play well when I don't have fun, and I had so much fun that whole tournament.
What about you? What about your second day,
so
Olivia?
I got to play with some of the girls that I've been playing with throughout the year, and we know each other, so the stress level went way down, and that just – allowed us all to have fun in the round and shoot our best scores.
When you're with a foursome like that and everybody's playing well, how much fun is that?
I think it's a lot of fun because everyone is seeing different, like, you're feeding off of each other, the positivity, and if you see this good shot someone has, hey, I can do that too. So if I pull off a good shot, we're all pulling off good shots.
Do you guys, as players, do you guys share tips, or is that something that's even allowed as far as playing the game of golf?
There's nothing saying you can't, and I am a lot more talkative, so I'm not going to lie, do that sometimes. But
amen to that.
But I think – we all help each other somehow, whether it's finding golf balls or just making sure everything's in line, especially when you marked your ball and had to move it for out of the way, so that way they don't get the penalty associated with moving the ball, playing it from the wrong spot.
What about you, Avery? When you find it, get with a group of players that you're having fun with and enjoy playing with, is there some tip sharing, saying, hey, Mike, try this, or your lie looks like this?
Not normally like that. There are a few times where, like, if someone's not as familiar with the course, especially if it's our home course, I don't remember when it was, but I was told I was being a little too helpful one year. I was telling them, yeah, you want to go here, you want to go here, you want to avoid that. But normally it's like, I'll ask, is there a lake like over there? Because at Heston, I wasn't very familiar with the course. And there's a few lines where if you didn't know where something was at, you'd get in trouble. And so I'd be like, is there like, do you know where the hazard's at? And that's normally the extent of the tips that we give each other.
So have there been groups where, for lack of a better term, you just didn't like playing with?
Oh, there's probably been a few, but normally, I normally have a lot of fun. There's always at least one person that you can talk to that's just a lot of fun to be around.
Well, the thing that strikes me in hearing from both of these ladies is golf is, of course, a sport that you can play well beyond your competitive playing days. And the thing that comes to mind is, I enjoy playing golf, and that's a lot of it. If you don't enjoy playing golf, you're not going to be out there on the golf course, and it is great exercise. And that's the one thing that I think a lot, regardless of what sport it is, sometimes we get lost in the fact that, hey, it's a sport, and you're supposed to have fun playing. And I'm glad you ladies enjoy playing the game of golf and are having the success you're having.
Yeah, they do. They have a good time, and that's for me as a coach, that's one of the things that I have to try to pick up on once in a while. And I did a really good job the last day at state. There are times when you just shut up and walk away. I mean, you do. You know that things are going well. They're having fun. Things are on the right track, and there's nothing to add. I'd go stand in the trees and watch.
And I've told stories about, you know, sisters, twins, even triplets, but usually twins do a lot of similar things together, and it kind of brings me to my question is, why did you guys make your own decision on what you guys are going to do for college going your separate ways?
I guess I really liked the aspect of the school. It was really nice. Iowa Central is about the same size as Emporia High School student body-wise, so that's familiar in that aspect. But I just really liked the coach and the facilities, so I'm really happy with where I'm going.
I think one of the really big things that separated our decisions was the academic side, because she wanted to do graphic design, I wanted to do criminal justice, and Missouri Southern has a really good program for that. But then also the golf teams themselves. I got to go over the summer and visit Missouri Southern, and I really enjoyed playing with the coach, and I got to meet one of the former players, and she was so nice. And then we got a tour the campus, and I really liked it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, academically, both of the girls are going to end up in a place that's going to be really good for them. And, you know, another thing with Olivia that, you know, it's one of those things. Everybody makes their choices in life. And she was dead set on the fact that she's not only going to be a golfer, but she is going to participate in band. That is something that is near and dear to her heart. I mean, she will never admit it, but it's more important than golf is to her. It really is. She loves her music, and that's okay. And Iowa Central is going to give her the opportunity to engage in both of those things, at least for 2 years. And then if she chooses to go on and golf beyond that, it's going to have to be a choice. It will be golf and won't have the time for the band. So,
so what instrument do you play, Olivia?
I play clarinet.
Oh,
yeah. You were playing yesterday out at the Veterans Memorial Service with the band, and I know Avery saw me as well, and Elise was out there, and, you know, I like seeing the support, you know, when it's families and everything, so I thought that was kind of cool yesterday, seeing Olivia play, and then, of course, Avery and Elise and the Eckert family out there, and, you know, that's pretty cool that it's not just sports. it's you know, fine arts and academics. I mean, you know, I wasn't a sports guy when I was in high school. But I was a fine arts kid, and then journalism, and then I figured out a way. So, but that's something that's kind of cool to me, is seeing you guys support each other outside of sports.
We're visiting with Avery and Olivia Eckert and Rick Eckert, outstanding Emporia High golfers, had great seasons. We're going to take our first break. We'll be back with more. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by LongmineAuto.com.
Everyone's transportation needs are different, and everyone knows that. Depending on your stage of life, your needs will continue to change. That's why, at Longbine Auto Plaza, we're ready to help you find the right vehicle and provide you with the best customer service available, too. We have a professional sales team that can match your needs with the right new Chevy or Buick models. Or if you're looking for a pre-owned model, we've got those, too. We'll even be glad to make an offer to you on your current vehicle if you're wanting to sell it. Remember, after the sale, our award-winning service will always be ready to keep you on the road. Our commitment to you, our customer, will always be there. So come in today and let us help you find what you're looking for. That's Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Come see us or visit us at www.longbineauto.com. Longbine Auto Plaza, where we do business right. Chevy, find new roads.
I'm Ryan Radke with This Week in the NCAA on Westwood One. As we head towards mid-November, the cross-country season is sprinting towards the finish line. The Division I regional championships on both the men's and women's side are underway this weekend. Nine schools across the country are hosting the event for their respective regions. The top two teams from each regional secure automatic bids to next week's national championship. If a team does not secure an automatic bid this weekend, they'll have to rely on the D1 cross-country subcommittee for an at-large bid. The committee chooses 13 at-large schools to fill out the 31-team field. On the men's side, the team to keep an eye on is Northern Arizona. The Lumberjacks have won five of the last six national titles. The defending champs are running in the Mountain Regional, which is being held in Albuquerque, New Mexico. On the women's side, North Carolina State is looking to repeat as national champs. The Wolfpack are competing in the Southeast Regional in Louisville, Kentucky. Both the men's and women's national championship will take place next weekend in Stillwater, Oklahoma. Coming up, we get you set for the postseason in field hockey on This Week in the NCAA.
Every day, I bet your floors have shoe grime and pet grime and invisible grime.
Invisible grime?
Yep, the kind of grime that you only notice when you look at your socks.
Ew.
So get Swiffer Sweeper Wet, the cleaning power of a mop with the convenience of a wipe. Sweeper heavy-duty wet pads come prepped with a cleaning solution that traps and locks dirt and grime deep inside the pad, even dirt and grime you can't see, for the clean floors you want, anytime you want it. Swiffer Sweeper heavy-duty wet pads.
Division I field hockey tournament were announced. 18 schools will compete for this year's national championship. North Carolina earned the number one overall seed, followed by Northwestern, Maryland, and Michigan. Northwestern is the defending national champions after winning their first title in school history last season. First and second round games will be held this weekend. The national championship is in Storrs, Connecticut next weekend. That's This Week in the NCAA. I'm Ryan Radke on Westwood One.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday Morning Sports Talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back. Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by LongmineAuto.com. Greg Gray along with Dylan Sherwood, joined in studio by Avery and Olivia Eckert and Rick Eckert of the Emporia High Girls Golf Team. Again, for those who may not be aware, the Lady Spartans, Centennial League champions this year, first time ever in school history, and second place finishers at state in Class 5A, finishing behind Cape and Mount Carmel. They did that twice in the last two tournaments of the year at regionals that was played at the Emporia Golf Course and then again at state. And as we said before, again, big congratulations on the season. So what is it about golf that we'll start with you, Olivia? What is it about golf that has you, you know, loving the sport?
I really like it. I'm a very social person. So when you are playing 18 hole rounds that usually last anywhere between 5 and 6 hours, you have a lot of time to learn more about the other girls. And I just love the aspect of us talking with each other, just going out, having fun, shooting around, posting a number. I enjoy the game.
What about you, Avery? What is it about golf that gets your motor going, so to speak?
I like the competition that playing with other people, but also when you hit like really good shots, when you're having a good round and you hit that one really good shot like a few feet from the hole, it's just a lot of fun. I like to see how many shots I can hit. Like, I don't know how to describe it. It's just, I enjoy playing golf.
So when you're playing a round of golf, are you playing against yourself, or do you also find yourself playing against the other golfers?
I think in the last few years, I started to kind of like know where I was at in relation to the people I was playing with. Before, I was always really stressed when I played because I wasn't that consistent. But now I am a lot more confident in my game, and I just go out and play. And if it's a bad round, then I try and pull it back together, and most of the time I can.
And one thing, too, we need to throw out there, city golf champion as well. So a lot of championships out there for you.
Yeah.
What about academics? You mentioned Missouri Southern had the academics. And what is it about your choice of field of study?
I really like detectives and investigators, and I really like to find out why things happened and to help people. And that's one of the reasons why I'd like to study criminal justice. And the program there is really good. And I liked the building. I met the person in charge of the department, and he was really nice. And that seemed like a great fit.
Yeah, when we went down there in July, she had a really good experience. We met with the department chair for criminology, and he sat down with us for about an hour and walked us through the building. They have a dedicated building just for that, and all the facilities that are set up and the different things that they can experiment with to make sure that the kids get to where they want to be exactly in that field of study.
And what about you, Olivia? Granted, it's a junior college, and that means if you choose to you'll be transferring, if you want that bachelor's degree, to get those last couple of years of education. What field are you interested in?
So I'm looking at graphic design, multimedia design, just something around there.
She is the creative one. She's already done some work for some people locally, designing
The Mouse Lake House brochure.
Yeah, so wow. Doing some stuff for some, what are they called?
Airbnb, yes. That type of thing.
Oh, awesome.
That's cool.
So she's already had a chance to use some of her talents, and she really enjoys doing that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. And plus, I have a friend that's currently taking working on her program at the Flint Hills Tech College in the graphic design. So whenever I hear her talking about the classes that she's taken, helping her go through notes and everything, I'm like, I really like what all of this is. So it's nice just seeing what it's going to possibly be like looking for college, just what academically it is. But I enjoy what it looks like.
Too bad Flint Hills Technical College doesn't have women's golf.
Yeah. Maybe we need to hit them up for that.
I know they've been talking about adding some athletic teams, but still hasn't come to fruition yet. There are some hurdles I think they still need to clear, but that would be kind of a neat thing if you have to wonder how many people they would be able to attract doing that.
Absolutely. I know that one of the things that these two probably would have considered if Emporia State had golf programs again. I hate to say this is how old I am. I can remember the last time Emporia State had golf because I competed against them. Mm-hmm. And when I was down at Newman University, we used to compete against them. And shortly after that time frame is when they had dropped the programs. But, yeah, they may have stayed if, the situation was available to them. But, it's okay. This way they get out and see the world a little bit.
Get out and see. Well, ladies, congratulations on an outstanding golfing careers so far. For high school careers, I would think the only thing that probably could have topped it is if you both could have won the state championship together.
That would have been great, but I'm just happy with how it went. I thought we played really well. We've improved a lot in these last 4 years, and then just the team itself, it's just been so much fun.
Yep, I agree with everything she said.
And yeah, we like to joke that we're the public school champions of Kansas in 5A.
So what was it like playing for Dad?
Oh, no.
Or is that a question I shouldn't have asked?
Well, I really enjoy it, but one of those things, like I'm just talking with some of the other girls, what's it like not having your dad as a coach? Because that's – I know I've had other sports like basketball and volleyball in middle school that I had not – my not parent as a coach. But I really like having my dad as a coach because he knows me. He knows if something's not going well one day, how am I going to keep on moving from that? And he's been really supportive throughout all of this.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's definitely a few times where I'm like, Dad, just – I got this. I know what I'm doing. But there's a lot of times where he'll come up and he's like, well, you're doing this. And his advice is just helps me get through the rounds sometimes. And I really appreciate him being there. And now I was thinking the other day, I was like, wow, he's not going to be able to help me ever again, like in a tournament. So I was like, well – guess I got to do it myself now.
That would get you kicked out of the tournament, wouldn't
yes,
you?
It would. Yes, it would. I would be escorted off the ground very quickly. So now if I go watch them in college, yeah, I get
you
to just
you have to
hang
be the
back
spectator.
And not say a word. That's going to be the biggest challenge of my life.
Or you just talk, hey, can I be your assistant coach for the day?
No, I'm really proud of the progress that they have made. And it's, you know, that's one of the cool things is looking where they were at as freshmen, where they ended up this year. I mean, every year that went by, they needed me less during every round. And that shows how they're improving because they started to figure things out. They could make a lot of those corrections on their own.
And I guess one other thing, when we talked before the season and you mentioned how not only do you have Avery, Olivia, and Elise on the team, but those other three that were on this year's team, they felt like your daughters as well. But what did it mean just to make this like a family atmosphere, knowing that half the team was, you know, truly family?
Yeah, well, first of all, at State, there were a number of comments that were made as I was standing there about half the team having the same last name. And I would stand there and I'd just listen. And then as they stopped talking, then I'd be like, yeah, I'm their dad, by the way. And it was interesting to watch their reaction after that was said. But no, it's a lot of fun. And that's, you know, with the girls, they are. Since there's only six of us, we were very tight knit. And it's a lot of fun. I mean, I had the thing that I will never complain about. I don't care what a girl plays like. If she comes out and she works hard and she does what she's supposed to and gives her best, we're going to have fun. And they're going to learn a lifetime game. And that's what it's all about. And we just, you know, with my three daughters and Ella, you know, they really have elevated their play recently. And that's what's taken us to that next level. So, by the way, if there's any young ladies out there in Emporia that are listening right now, we got openings on the golf team.
And they'll play beginning next August.
Exactly, yep, as soon as school gets started.
Well, guys, again, congratulations on an outstanding season. Congratulations on an outstanding career, and we wish you a lot of success.
Thank you.
Thank you, Greg.
That's Avery and Olivia Eckert and Rick Eckert of the Emporia High Girls Golf Team, Centennial League champions, second place finishers in 5A State. Joining us here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We'll take a break. We'll be back with Mitch Holtis, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, right after this timeout.
Everyone's transportation needs are different, and everyone knows that. Depending on your stage of life, your needs will continue to change. That's why, at Longbine Auto Plaza, we're ready to help you find the right vehicle and provide you with the best customer service available, too. We have a professional sales team that can match your needs with the right new Chevy or Buick models. Or if you're looking for a pre-owned model, we've got those too. We'll even be glad to make an offer to you on your current vehicle if you're wanting to sell it. Remember, after the sale, our award-winning service will always be ready to keep you on the road. Our commitment to you, our customer, will always be there. So come in today and let us help you find what you're looking for. That's Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Come see us or visit us at www.longbineauto.com. Longbine Auto Plaza, where we do business right. Chevy, find new roads.
Whether you're buying your first home or moving into a new home, getting your home loan with Emporia State Federal Credit Union is convenient and easy. Emporia State Federal Credit Union understands the Emporia mortgage market and offers flexible programs and down payment options to meet your needs. Plus, members enjoy credit union advantages like low closing costs, fast underwriting, in-branch payments, and local servicing. If you value exceptional personalized customer service for the life of your loan, visit esfcu.com to apply for your mortgage today. Equal housing lender, insured by NCUA.
NMLS number 424226.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back. Saturday morning sports talk driven by LongmontAuto.com. Greg Gray along with Dylan Sherwood. And we now welcome in Mitch Holtz, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. Mitch's appearance made possible by Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Ask Isabella Lopez or Jared Gurman about the credit union advantage and ease in getting a home mortgage loan from Emporia State Federal Credit Union, NMLS 424226. Good morning, Mitch Holtz.
Hey, Dylan. I know you're learning. Right, you're absorbing everything from Tim and Greg down through these months and years. You see what adrenaline does? You see what adrenaline does to your body when you're getting ready to do the Emporia State Northwest Missouri football game, and you read the Emporia State Federal Credit Union ad, pristine?
Yeah. So, I was ready for it last week. I was ready because, you know, Greg was going to Jeff City for the Lincoln game. I was ready, and then I was trying to drag. I was trying to help Tim drag, and then, like, once we got off air and then you called, I'm like, oh, man. So I was ready last week, Mitch, to get ready to.
Yeah, we had some. Yeah, I deserve that one. We had some issues on this end that precluded that, but did you do it anyway, or did Tim go ahead and do it?
He handed me the binder. He was like, it's
okay,
all yours.
There you go. Well, you don't, I mean, my bad on that one. I held on your touchdown run, so my bad. But, you know, keep rolling. But here we're diverting this attention off Greg because that's where it needs to be. Greg, at 8-2, playing Northwest. So what's win today steals the playoffs, I'm guessing?
We're right now, Emporia State and Northwest Missouri State are both on the outside looking in. Emporia State's ninth in the region. Northwest is 10th. Top seven teams get in. Davidson, who has one loss, plays Grand Valley State, who is at the top of the region. And there are a couple of other teams that play each other that are in the top seven. The hope is that whoever wins this Emporia State Northwest Missouri State game does get one of those seven spots, whether it's a seven spot or not. It doesn't really matter. I think whoever wins this game deserves to be in the playoffs. To go 9-2 in the MIAA is a huge accomplishment. And outside the conference, I don't think a lot of people understand how tough it is, because it is. You get in some of these other conferences and you have the MIAA has a couple of teams this year that you go in, you play maybe your B game, you can still win it. Lincoln,
Northwest and Northeast Oklahoma, let's be honest. Northeast Oklahoma. Fort Hays is down a bit. They've had all kinds of injuries. I got it. But other than that, give me another one.
Well, at Lincoln and Northeast, that's it. And even Fort Hays State.
That's it.
Even Fort Hays State, if you don't play your A game, you might not beat them. Emporia State had to play a really good game, and they did. And they're.
And that's a program that's won two MIAA titles in recent years. It's not like they're bad. I'm with you. It's the SEC West of Division II.
And
to me, the only league closer is that league that gave us Joshua Williams and, you know, the Fayetteville State, Valdosta, and Jody Fortune, that league, when I what it's called. But, okay, go run down these 10 teams. I know we're going to get to Chiefs and Jags, but this is always every year. Because, oh, and by the way, congratulations, Greg. You deserve congratulations.
Oh, I do.
Yeah. You're using Gerard Welbrock today to cover you guys in that tournament down in Oklahoma. I was just on the air with him.
Yeah, we appreciate him doing that. And when I found out that he was going to be there, I said, I hear you're going to be there. Would you be interested? And he said, yeah, because I knew the the work that he does, and he does an outstanding job, and one of the best.
He said he always wanted to be Greg Ray. He always wanted to be Greg Ray. So I thought, wow, Greg's got a big footprint here.
Well,
I'm kidding there, but okay, these 10 schools, I'm serious here, because every year I go through this, whether it's Fort Hays or you guys or, you know, some of the other schools. Or okay, so these 10, this is where I have an issue with Division II. Go through them. Who's at the top? Was
hello,
let's go through the 10 teams in the region. You just listed them, right? So there's got to be two or three in there. I'm going, come on. You're not going to put Emporia State or Northwest in this because you're going to put them in?
Yeah, when you look at the region, Grand Valley State, who's undefeated.
Yep, I get that's legit. Yeah,
I get that one. Wachita Baptist, they're undefeated. Pittsburgh State, they're undefeated. So those three, and then Ferris State, who has one loss.
Cam got it. Deb get it. That's a good program.
Davidson, who suffered their first loss last week, they get Grand Valley State this week. I could see them being in there because they were undefeated.
Who's
before.
Davidson? This isn't the Davidson of this isn't the Davidson that was 1AA no scholarship, is it? This is North Dakota.
Davenport.
It's Davenport. I'm sorry, Davenport.
Okay.
Davenport.
Okay. You scared me. Davidson,
yeah.
Division 1.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So, okay. Davenport.
There's five, and then Truman State is in that. Well, they play Indianapolis today, who's also one loss. So Truman and Indianapolis are one loss. My feeling is whoever loses that one, they're out the door. Davenport, if they lose.
That's the league I struggle with. Because that's Quincy, Kentucky Westland. Missouri S&T. It's that league, right?
Right. Southwest Baptist. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Quincy, William Jewell.
Mm-hmm. A lot of Kingdom teams in there, so I got to be careful. But it ain't the MIAA. To leave one of you two out for one of those teams, or even two of those teams. Sorry.
Well. I talked with Coach Wright from Northwest Missouri State yesterday, and you know he was talking how a couple of years ago, Lindenwood, who used to be in the MIAA, leaves the MIAA. They go to the GLAVC or GLVC, whatever it was, and they win that conference, and they make it to the playoffs. First round, they go to Northwest Missouri State, and they get thumped. Okay, that kind of answers that question. Now, Lindenwood.
Now they're 1AA. Now they're FCS in the Ohio Valley. They got more money than Dillon's got.
And they'll take on KU in their first game of the season next year. So,
How about that? That Lindenwood, I got you.
Now, hope the money goes a long way for you, Lindenwood. But, you know,
that's my point. I just think the MIAA, to me, it's like a minimum three should get in every year. And to beat each other up, it's the SEC West, but it's also the NFL. And I love the MIAA, and we know that slip an inch, you slip a foot. But like your game today, what a massive game for ESU. It's got to be one of your biggest games in your long career there to have a game here on November 12th that means that much. With the Hornets playing the Bearcats.
Yeah, and, you know, they've had some big games like this in the past, and there have been some years where, you know, you knew regardless of what would happen on that last game of the season, you were going to be in the playoffs because the season was just so – you just had a great season. And Emporia State's had a great season, stubbed their toe a couple times early in the season, but riding a six-game win streak – and with some of the wins that you look at on the road at Nebraska Kearney, that was a huge win at the time. Even the win at Washburn, the win at Washburn was at that time was a huge win for Emporia State. Now, granted, they didn't play their best game last week against Lincoln. They didn't need to, and you would have liked to maybe see them be a little more efficient and crisper going into this game. But as I've told numerous people this week, if the trend continues like it has this season, Emporia State fans should expect to see a really good performance from the Emporia State football team because every time they've either come off a loss or off a game where maybe they didn't feel like they played their best, they played some of their best football of the season. Go back to after losing to Central Oklahoma, they come home, play Missouri Western, who was 2-0 at the time, and really took care of business. They lose to Pittsburgh State by one. Then they go to Washburn.
One. That's one of your toast nubs, Greg, is those guys. 1 point to Pitt State. That doesn't feel like a toast nub to me. You know, maybe UCO, but they're good too. I mean, you guys should be in, but that's all right.
Well, we'll have – unfortunately, I don't get a vote. And as I told Coach Wright, I feel like whoever wins this game definitely deserves to be in the NCAA playoffs. They're a good enough team that they could make a run in the NCAA postseason and make it life tough for a lot of other schools.
I'm going to petition the NCAA, Dylan and I, Tim, decide the field. That might be a surprise to some of these schools, but with just the three of us to get together and decide who the field is. So, yeah, when a 5-6 in my double eight gets in, they'll be wondering. But I don't know, I wish you could both get in today. But anyway, that's another matter.
Well, the Kansas City Chiefs found a way to knock off the Tennessee Titans. You let them strut their peacock feathers around a little bit on Sunday night, and then when it came down to getting down to business, Patrick Mahomes shows up. Superman appears.
We can take so much for granted. I know I've mentioned that with you guys several times, but the fact that it's almost like we have Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig managed by Casey Stengel right now in this era of the Chiefs Kingdom. We are living an unusual, spectacular time with this quarterback, with this tight end, and this head coach. And to have 10 years of winning football that includes a Super Bowl championship and challenging for one every year. We're just in a unique time. But the plays made by Mahomes in that game to account for over 500 yards and a 20-17 overtime slug it out win. But those three runs were, it wasn't pretty, but it was tough. And he was proud of them, and that team was proud of them. And he just immediately after the game just said, it shows that we can win in a variety of ways, is what he told me. And it was just magnificent. I don't want to take any of it for granted.
And I think it just shows how versatile that Chiefs offense is. And a lot of people want to talk about, well, the Chiefs weren't able to run the ball against Tennessee. Well, as I watched the game unfold, I don't know if that was part of the game plan of Andy Reid, because he knew that that front for Tennessee and the linebacking court, they were good against the run. If we could establish, you know, you have to run the ball just to keep teams honest. But the game plan was, let's use the passing game like a running game, get short gains here, short gains there, then maybe hit them over the top with a couple of big plays and take our chances. And when it came to the running game, it was the quarterback who was doing the running.
Your point is astute, very observant. I could sit here and go outside the studio today and just start beating my head against the wall, and you guys would go, what are you doing? I go, I'm trying to beat this wall down my head. Well, that's stupid. When you got to run the ball enough, I understand it. But the Tennessee Titans, this discussion is opponent-specific. The Tennessee Titans are the most underrated defense in the National Football League, with the most underrated player on the most underrated defense in Jeffrey Simmons. They're hard to run the ball against any week they play. So to sit there and just try to continue a sledgehammer in a rock pile where you're not even doing anything with the rocks doesn't make any sense. You've got to run it enough, I understand. And the Chiefs ended up doing it with those scrambles by Mahomes. But you're not going to sit there and just run ISO leads out of the I formation to say you tried to run the ball when you're slamming it into the wall every time. You said something, though, that triggered a thought from me, that the fact that they ran it when they needed to. Think about this, though. This is the point when I reviewed the video that I think is poignant for us to discuss this morning. I'm a receiver, or I'm a running back. Jerick McKinnon did this. Noah Gray did this. I'm going out on a route. Ooh, it's Patrick Mahomes. You've got the route, but then the route turns into the scramble play, backyard football, because Mahomes is scrambling. I'm still a receiver. Then Mahomes, in an instant, a fraction of a second, a metapixel, decides he's going to run. In that fraction of a second, I must turn into a blocker in space and make a good block without committing a penalty. Jerick McKinnon did it. Noah Gray did it. That's really hard to do. But I think we need to credit, you said this offense, it's also to understand that is a receiver on a passing play, every time I've got a three-step assignment, four-step, my route, catch it if it's coming, step two, step three, ooh, it's the play within a play, he's scrambling, ooh, four, now he's going to run, and I've got to make a block and not commit a stupid penalty in space where every official's watching me, and I've got to block a guy at full speed. That's what we can all take for granted.
Yeah, I'm remembering the two-point conversion try.
Same deal.
Yeah, it's if that receiver, I think it was, what, Juju Smith-Schuster, who had a...
Yeah, it was Juju, yep.
If he doesn't make that block, Patrick doesn't make score that two-point conversion. He makes the block.
Or he holds, or he blocks in the back. It's like a kickoff return. In an instant, it turns into a kickoff return. And it's just amazing what I saw in video, that those guys can make that transformation that quickly, Greg.
Well, coming up tomorrow, Jacksonville. Here's a team that maybe record-wise doesn't impress a lot of people, but I've heard some of the talking heads out of Kansas City this week, and Jacksonville has some pieces.
Huh. Pieces. Sound the alert, Dylan. Whatever alert you've got, sound it. That's awesome, man.
Thank you, Mitch.
The Dylan alert. That's our new thing. Tell Tim when he gets back. That's our new thing. Brought to you by Emporia State Federal Credit Union. All right, here we go. Sound the alert, Greg, because this is a team that is on the rise. The comparisons that I have made this week are to the 2013 Kansas City Chiefs. First of all, Jacksonville was smart enough to hire Doug Peterson, who was our offensive coordinator that first year here. Remember, Andy Reid inherited a mess. This was a mess. Doug Peterson walked into a mess. He's going, I got some talent here. Now, it's not just Trevor Lawrence who's the most notable talent. This team has changed. The Jaguars have changed because of running back Travis Etienne. Last year he missed his Elise Frank injury. Now he's back. He led Clemson to a national championship. Here's just one stat I'll throw out this morning that gives you an idea of what the Chiefs are facing tomorrow. Etienne has 620-plus runs. He has not been the starting running back for the Jags since week four. Since week four, he has had the most yards by a Jags running back in a five-week period or six-week period of any Jags running back in history, including Maurice Jones-Drew. But more importantly, 620-plus runs by Travis Etienne. Number one in the league is Nick Chubb of Cleveland. We all know about him. Number two is, Derrick Henry. See if you remember him. Three is Travis Etienne. Etienne changes everything for them on the offensive side. This is a dangerous team that is on the rise.
And, Mitch, how big is it for, like, guys like Marquez or Valdez-Scantling and Juju Smith-Schuster to step up with Hardman out tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm going to say it's all hands on deck. It's an excellent question, Dylan, but I'm going to throw in there Kadarius Toney. He's got to kind of fill into the McCole Hardman-ish role. Think of the jet passes, the flip passes, the sweeps, the motions, the stuff they do with McCole. It becomes a Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore thing. Plus the tight ends. Getting Jody Fortson back could be a real asset tomorrow. But it's all hands on deck, but you're on it. McCole Hardman's absence means more than people think. He's kind of gotten a fight with the fans on social media and stuff, but he's really valuable. We wouldn't want a Super Bowl without him. And keep in mind now, with all of the issues of punt returning in these first 8 weeks, guess who was back there last week in that big game? McCole Hardman. So that issue opens up. And we may not have Jerick McKinnon tomorrow. I'm going to see. We'll see. We'll know more later today. But McKinnon played 62 snaps last week of those 100 offensive snaps. And if he's out, that's your third down back. That would be another absence. Or if he's limited, you're going to have to lean on Pacheco or Clyde Edwards-Helaire even more than you do.
I know a lot of people are hoping that Ronald Jones will get his chance.
Could. He sure could. And if he does, he's different, man. He's a plow horse coming right at you. I still think that Ronald Jones Jr. is going to do something big this season to help this team win a game they're going to need to get where they want to go. I still feel that. I've seen enough. I saw enough in the spring and summer training camp to go. He's still got some juice, and he's just different. He's power. He's just a little bigger version of Pacheco. So he's not McKinnon, totally different back. But I'm with you, Greg. I think there could be something there. Now, the other part of Jacksonville's team, to go back to those guys, because I'm calling this the potential slip and surge. I think Tennessee could slip, and I think this Jacksonville team could surge. That AFC South, I mean, 8-9 could win that division. I kid you not. Or 9-8. Well, if Jacksonville loses tomorrow, they're 3-7. That looks pretty tough. But I'm also telling you, they could go on a rip. And if they do and Tennessee falters, then look out. But for sure, 2023, Jacksonville's a story. Their defense is fast. Maybe the fastest defense we've played all year, and we played good defense at San Francisco, Tampa Bay, last week's defense. But these guys fly. Travon Walker, the 1-1 pick out of Georgia, is fast. But Devin Lloyd next to him, there's something that's coincidental with their three wins, and that is Devin Lloyd's got a takeaway in all three of those games. Foye Oluokun, talked about St. Louis and Lindenwood. Oluokun went to Yale, but he grew up not far from the Lindenwood campus. He can run. This is just a fast defense for the Jags the Chiefs will have to deal with.
Well, then speaking about the Chiefs defense, we didn't talk about the job they did in the second half of really shutting down Tennessee and not even letting them do much of anything offensively in the second half. That defense just seems to keep getting better every week.
They do, and it's just the youth coming. And part of it, problems in the first half were youth. People go, what adjustments did Spag make? What did they do, man? Was it real tricky? No, they were just more disciplined and calmed down. Sometimes, it's, I don't care if it's ESU today, you can get a little too hyped up, and they overran the play, which we talked about all week long. Don't overrun the play. You got to stay assignment sound. And what does Derrick Henry do? Or what does Malik Willis do? But run an RPO, zone read, and Willis is out the gate. And there goes Derrick Henry. Because the guys were just like too amped up and overran the play. What did they do? They stayed home. Discipline. Carlos Dunlap was a big part of it. Colin Saunders was a big part of it. If you've got play side, you've got to go over there with your hair on fire. If you're close to play side, you've got to have half your hair on fire. If you're on the backside, you're the fireman. You wait for that play to cut back to you, but you better be there or you're in trouble. Same thing with ETN tomorrow. It was just a matter of the Chiefs' younger guys calming down. Just calm down, dude. Calm down and do your assignment, and then go tackle the guy. And that's what happened in the second half. It's almost as simple as that.
Well, so what are the two big keys for the Chiefs on Sunday?
Well, I would say don't let ETN just go nuts. He's the Derrick Henry of tomorrow. And I think from an offensive and that Trevor Lawrence, pressure's on Trevor Lawrence. Too many turnovers from him. He's a talented kid, but he's got 33 giveaways in a year and a half. He's got 11 this year. That's the most in the NFL. 5 lost fumbles, 6 picks. If you can make him hold onto the ball for just one more click, Greg, something good will happen. Under 2.5 seconds, he's got a 77 completion rate. 2.6 and beyond, it's 50%. So he struggles when he's got to hang on. So handle the short game, handle the mid-range 8 to 12 yards, be disciplined on ATN and realize he's for real. On the offensive side, it is to, this goes back to Dylan's point, it's all hands on deck and start in that 8 to 12 yard range. You can attack these guys even with their speed, counter game, backside throws, use that speed and aggressiveness against them, just the converse of what I said, and you can get some big plays, even throwing it for 8 yards and running for 48, because the Jags are number one in the league in missed tackles. That's just that speed working against them. It's the same thing. And so mid-range, be tough with plays, but use the backside and use the speed against them when the Jags are on defense and Chiefs are on offense.
Well, Mitch, thanks for taking time out and visiting with us today. Have a great call tomorrow, and we look forward to visiting with you again next Saturday.
You know, I have to be ambassador to the entire Chiefs kingdom, which includes most of the MIAA. Oh, the Bearcat fans will be mad. And I really, go get them today, man. Go get it done today.
All right. Thanks, Mitch.
Just don't tell the Bearcat.
Okay, we won't tell them. We won't tell
okay,
them.
Thanks, brother.
All right. Hey, thanks. All right. Mitch Holtzus, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. Mitch's appearance made possible by Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Ask Isabella Lopez or Jared Gurman about the credit union advantage and ease in getting a home mortgage loan from Emporia State Federal Credit Union, NMLS number 424226. Well, that's going to wrap it up for us on this Saturday morning. Saturday morning sports segment driven by LongmontAuto.com. Again, coming up today here on KVOE. We have Emporia State Lady Hornet basketball at 11 as they take on Henderson State. Then it's KU football tonight as the Jayhawks go up against Texas Tech, kickoff at 6. On Country 101.7 FM tonight, Kansas State at Baylor. That game kicks off at 6. And on Mix 104.9, Emporia State Hornet football at 1 o'clock as the Hornets take on Northwest Missouri State. And then tonight, Emporia State men's basketball as the Emporia State men take on Southwestern Oklahoma State. That game tips off at 7:30. For Dylan Sherwood, I'm Greg Ray. This has been Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We've been driven by LongmineAuto.com.
96.9 FM, K245BQ Emporia, AM 1400 KV.